Today we're going to go another step in the Unlock series. I'm not so much preaching this message as I am teaching this message. Because sometimes we get lost in the rhetoric, we get lost in our semantics, and we forget key points. And I don't want to forget key points that makes you think. It makes me think. And I don't want to get in a rush, because sometimes when you get in a rush, you miss what the Holy Spirit is saying. But let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this day and this opportunity, and I ask you, Lord, to speak to me and through me. And if there's anything that you want me to say, let me say it. If there's anything you want me to omit, help me to omit it. But God, let it be you. I want to give you all the glory and all the praise, and it's all about you, Jesus. It really is all about you. And I know when we speak your word will not return void. So, Lord, I ask you to bless this and to bless our ears to hear and our spirits to receive. In Jesus' name, and they all would say, amen. Amen. So today, in the Unlock series, the title will be, When God Opens the Door. When God Opens the Door. I want to start off with a question. Have you ever had a door closed on you or in your face? Seriously. Something that you wanted to see, but it's closed. Do you remember how it made you feel? Because closed doors can make you feel forgotten. Am I right? Makes you feel like you're forgotten. You're not sufficient. It makes you feel stuck. It makes you feel frustrated because you wanted to see that door open. Something you really desired. And a closed door, when a closed door comes, in the realm of the spirit, now I'm talking, there's things in life that's not spiritual, secular, but then there's those spiritual things. But in the realm of the spirit, a closed door, as a Christian, can make you start to question. And here's where the enemy starts to work. It can make you start to question, did I miss God? Have you ever done that? Did I miss God? Did I mess up? Did I mess this up? Was it me? Did God move on without me? Let me make sidestep here. God doesn't move on without you. He just tries to get you to go with him. Amen. Not realizing in all these things, it may be the things you're going through and the doors that you seemingly are closed is all part of the process. Maybe you needed that. Let me go on. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. It's all, say back to me, it's part of the process. Because we live in a world of access. A world of access. A world of passwords. How many people have got a lot of passwords? How many of you have forgotten all your passwords? We live in a world of access and passwords and permissions and approvals. But when access is denied, it doesn't just frustrate us when you can't get in. It just doesn't just frustrate us. It affects our identity. Who we are, because we start seeing ourselves less than, seeing ourselves as inept or insufficient. Now, maybe you don't do that, but a lot of people that I know, they start looking down on their own selves. Have you ever done that? Closed doors then can feel very, very personal. The door closes, it starts to be personal. But the scripture, how many people know the word of God is true? But scripture makes one thing clear. Our God, say my God. Our God is not limited by people, by processes, by seasons, or circumstances. He's not limited by those things. Because when God opens a door, it doesn't just creak, it swings wide open. Are you with me now? God is in the business of opening doors for his children. But you have to Understand that the open door comes at His time, not at your time. You may get angry. You may get frustrated. You may say, I deserve better than this. But God already knows what you deserve. And He knows what you can handle when that door opens. Now, that's just fact. No one, when we look at the door that God opens and it swings open for us, no one, not your boss, not your wife, not your husband, not your children, not the system, not past failures, nothing can shut those doors. Amen. There's people in your life you think they've got a lot to say. They may have a lot to say, but they can't close your door if God decides to open it. So I really don't care what people think. I care what God thinks. I don't care what you say. Well, if Randy would open a door for me, I could really make it. I don't need Randy to open a door. I need God to open the door, and He may use Randy to do it, but I need God to open the door. I don't need Jimmy to open a door for me because I know God, and God can use Jimmy. Get this picture. He can use anybody, anytime, anywhere to open a door for you. You say, I need it now. No, you need it in God's time. That's when you need it, Brother Ade. You need it when God says you can handle it now. I'll show you as we go on today. Don't get tired or weary with me today. So nothing can stop it once it starts to happen. Let me take you to Revelations, the 3rd chapter, verse 7 and 8 in the New Living Testament. As my daddy said, it's all living. Revelations 3, 7. Write this letter to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true. I feel good today. Does anybody else feel good today? When I start reading the word, I start feeling good. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. We're talking about Jesus here. The one that has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. I know all things you do. He's talking now to the church. I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength. He knows them. He's defining them. He said, I know you have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. This is Jesus talking to the church of Philadelphia. This is Jesus talking to us today. To that church, it looked small. It may have looked like it was in a Hilton. That church looked small. It looked unimpressive. It looked overlooked, maybe even forgotten. They didn't have influence. When you read it and study it, that church had no influence. They didn't have power. They didn't have leverage. But if you read the scripture, the one thing they had, he said they had obedience. It doesn't matter how big you are, how great you are. It doesn't matter what's happened in your life. When you start walking in obedience with God, doors start to open. Amen. They had obedience. And then Jesus said, that's enough. If you read it, that's enough. That's all I require is you be obedient. Do what I ask you to do when I ask you to do it. That's good stuff right there. So there's a truth here. God doesn't open doors based on your strength, on your ability or lack thereof. God doesn't do that. You say, well, why does God do that? Listen, if I could explain God, I'd be God. Because no one can explain God. He does what he does because he desires it. If he wants the sky blue, it's blue. If he wants the ocean green, it's green. If he wants your hair to fall out, you are going to be bald. Randy, it just doesn't matter. I mean, when there's more hair in your sink than's on your head, you know you're in trouble. So he doesn't open a door just because you're strong. He opens them based on, watch this, he opens the door based on his sovereignty. What do you mean by that? He opens it because of his supreme power. That's sovereignty. His supreme power. His ultimate, watch it, his ultimate unrestricted authority in all things, both seen and unseen. It's unrestricted. He has the power. That's the way he moves. He thinks he's God. You know why? Because he is. But you see, our life, we go through so many phases in life. Our life is like, I thought this morning, our life is like a bank vault. Just like a bank vault. And a bank vault doesn't open because you push harder. I'm going to stand in front of my bank. I'm going to push harder and I'm going to get into the vault. I'm going to get into the safety deposit box. I'm going to push harder. It doesn't open because you push harder. It opens because the right authority enters the code. The sovereign power of God has the ability to put in the right code. You can go to that vault, and I promise you, you can get on your hands and knees and grovel in the dirt. You can roll around at your bank, and you can say, in the name of Jesus, and you can go through all that, open that bank. You can beg and beg and beg and beg and beg, but that vault's not going to open. Try it. They may lock you up. You can bang on the vault door. You can take hammers on it and beat on it, and the door still doesn't open. You can even feel like, hey, I know, Lord, I'm unworthy for what's inside the vault. We already know that. I'm unworthy, but it still won't open. It just won't open. Why? Because a vault doesn't respond, get this, a vault doesn't respond to pressure. It responds to authority. Does that make sense? It doesn't, no pressure, just authority. The vault only opens when the person with the right key or the right code turns it. So what does that mean? It's the same in the realm of the spirit. When the owner of that vault, the owner of that safety deposit box, watch this, turns the key, there is instant access. But you have to use the key. And what most people are doing in what I call the modern church today is we've forgotten the key of the Holy Spirit. We've forgotten that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And the Bible says he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said, what Jesus is saying, one of my prayers every day. So when you understand the Holy Spirit is key in your life, it's a key to open the vault. The Holy Spirit knows what to do. The Holy Spirit knows, he knows about your health condition. He can tell you what's going on with your health and even show you and guide you how to walk that path. He'll give you thoughts. I was talking to James about it this week, how the Holy Spirit's led him in some areas. That the doctors didn't say nothing about it, but the Holy Spirit led him in some areas that's been very beneficial for him. And the same thing has happened in my life. How the Lord spoke to me and because of some issues. And it was because I listened to the Holy Spirit that it started correcting. So it is a key that will open the vault. And it's instant access. You don't have to wait years. When you turn the key, Jeff, it opens the door. So what have we been doing? Think about it. Some of us have been pushing on doors. We keep pushing on them. We keep pushing on doors. Relying on our own strength, not on the key, not on the code, but on our strength. And we're pushing on doors, Pastor Mike. We're pushing on doors that God never asked us to open. I'm going to open that, by God, I'm going to open that door. And God's saying, no, no, no. No, you're not. That's not, door's not for you. That door's not in your time. It's not in your place. Quit pushing on that door. It's not going to open. But what do? We wear ourselves out trying to open a door that God doesn't want open. Does that make sense? So, others, though, we're trying to open doors we shouldn't be opening, but others are standing in front of a door God has already unlocked. We're standing in front of a door. It has been unlocked, but we just will not turn the handle. We refuse to turn the handle. Why, Jeff? Because of fear. Sometimes fear has us frozen. Has anybody ever been frozen by fear? I've seen people freeze in fear. Frozen in fear, and you just refuse, Jezlene, to walk through that door. although you know it's open, but fear stops me. I can't walk through it because I'm fearful of what's on the other side. I don't know if I'm capable. I don't know if I'm able. I don't know if I have the ability. Let me go on record. Everybody seated here today has the ability to go through any door that God has opened for you. I'm going to tell you, that's fact. The devil can say, the enemy of our soul can say, you're not worthy of it. You don't have the strength. You don't have the ability. And God's saying, I know you. I know you have little strength. But here's the kicker. You've been obedient. And now you can walk through that door. You can walk through that door. Now watch. Just keep going on. I'm not going to freeze. I'm going to walk through it, Floyd. Say that. I'm not going to freeze. I'm going to walk through it. See, that's important. Now, y'all need to listen careful because there's subtle things that happen that we need to look for. I'm not going to go through that right just this moment, but I just want you to start getting in your mind that there may be some doors we're missing because we expect it to come a certain way. Let me give you this scripture. Isaiah 22:22. I will give him the key. Now, he's talking about here, the prophetic utterance here is about a king. But if God will do it for a king, he'll do it for you. Watch what he says. I will give him the key to the house of David, the highest position in the royal court. When he opens a doors, when he opens doors, when he opens doors, now he's talking about, I will give him the key. He's talking about people like you and me. When he opens the doors, no one will be able to close them. And when he closes his doors, no one will be able to open them. The key here to all this represents authority. You don't need, man, I've got to get into this because this is important. I will give him the key. What is the key? I will give him the key. Keys represent authority. You don't need more connections. I don't need more friends. I don't need more cronies. I don't need more investors. I don't need more clout. I don't need more control. All I need is to get in alignment with the one who holds the keys. I mean, at the old church, Pastor Mike used to have a bundle of keys. We all had bundles of keys. If we fell in the lake, we'd drown holding on to the keys. Now, we might not could get in. There's times here I'm the pastor of the church. Not just the pastor, senior pastor of the church, the bishop. And I'm walking around, can't get in the door. I got to call, Pastor Mike. Mike, get off the golf course and come over here and help me. He'd come with a bundle of keys. Well, I don't know. And he'd go through all his keys, and he'd get me in the door. I couldn't get in there, but he had the key. There's things you can't do. You have to have the help of the Holy Spirit to get you into that door. Okay, so it is not more. I got in alignment with Pastor Mike, and he could open my door. Does that make sense? Alignment. I have to be aligned with the one who holds the keys. That's fact. Closed doors, though. How many have had them? Let's be honest. Closed doors don't always mean denial. Doesn't mean denial. Sometimes it means delay for a reason. Have you ever been delayed at your house and all of a sudden you realize you get down the road, there's a major wreck that you missed? I have several times. So hear this carefully. It doesn't mean that it's a negative thing. It could mean a delay. How about a change of direction? Maybe you're going in the wrong direction and there has to be a change in direction. Or how about this? Protection from something you don't need to walk through. It's a closed door, but it's protection from something you don't need to walk through. You don't need to do it. Has anybody ever started to do something you thought it was going to be fun and the Spirit say, don't do that? Can I be honest? Can you be honest? I've had it happen. I'm going to do this thing, and man, all of a sudden, Spirit says, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Close that door. So he can protect us if we'll just listen. If we'll just listen. We don't want to listen, though. We really don't. We want to do our thing the way we want to do it in our way because I've got my life to live. Hey, let me just go on record as saying, every one of you, everything that we have 50 years from now will be gone. Nobody seated here today will be here 50 years from now, probably. No, you won't. You're gone, girl. As Michael Jackson says, you're gone, girl. Well, I'll change it a little bit. 80 years from now, it don't matter how many houses you got, how many cars you have, how many trucks you got, what kind of bank accounts you got, your kids are going to eat it up. So what do I tell you? Spend it now. Let them get their own. I just told y'all the truth, and y'all just laughing at me. None of that's going to matter. What's going to matter is the doors you've walked through because the Lord said to do it, that's what's going to carry on into eternity. That's the only thing that's going to work. Listen, I know people that didn't believe. They started out believing the Lord, and then they said, this happened recently. A person that I know said, well, I don't believe there's anything to this heaven or hell thing now. And I don't believe that there's anything after this life. That's what this person said that should have known better. There's nothing after this life until they started to die. And as they died, guess who they called out to? Jesus. Why did they call out to Jesus? Because they saw him. You don't call out to somebody and raise your hands as you're dying. Remember your daddy raising his hands, Damon? Y'all remember? We're standing there in that hospital room. What did he do? He's in a coma. And all of a sudden, what does he do? He raises his hands up. You know why? He saw Jesus. That's the door I want. Is anybody getting anything yet? I'm not getting a thing out of this. But in all this, let's look at some things as we walk through the past, through this maze of life and the doors. Something that causes pain in our lives in reference to doors. Because as we look for open doors, there's some struggles. Let me just mention a few struggles, maybe three struggles that we go through. Watching others get opportunities you prayed for. I heard an oh yeah. Do I get any oh me's in the crowd? I mean, you've been praying your silly self to death, and there's a person sitting over there, and oh, Randy gets it, and he's not even praying about it. So here's the struggle we go through. Here we go. Watching others get opportunities you prayed for. Now hear this. They didn't pray harder than you. They didn't sacrifice more than you, but they got the door, and you didn't. You didn't. Now, what happens when you go through this? That breeds comparison. That breeds resentment. That breeds self-doubt. This is important. And I'm going to tell you, everything I just mentioned, I'm not going to go through it again, everything I just mentioned is a real, real problem if you let it fester in your life. This is a problem because God, everybody say God. God doesn't want nor desire for you to compare yourself by yourselves. That's what the Bible says. Here's the deal. I start comparing myself to Randy, or Randy comparing himself to me, and that's not wise because his situation is not my situation. My purpose is not exactly his purpose because we all have a direction. We all have to reach people for Christ, and we understand that. But there's still things he has to go through that's not my part. And I have to go through these things. It's not his part. Are you with this? So it's situational. I am not going to get caught up in Mike's situation. I'll pray for Mike, but I'm not going to get caught up and compare my situation to his situation. Mike is I'm going to use Mike. This person over here is dying with a heart attack. And because I feel a little pain, I'm going to compare myself to them and say, I'm dying of a heart attack too. Are y'all with that now? You see, you start comparing yourself, and that's not, the Bible says that's not wise. Why? Because God is not going to work through your comparison. Just not going to do it. So it's a situation. I'm not going to get involved in your situation, in your predicament, or in even in your commitment level. I can't compare that because I don't know what God's asked you to commit to. So that's number one. Number one was watching others get opportunities you prayed for. Number two, feeling stuck in a long season of waiting. I'm stuck. I can't get nowhere. How many people know waiting rooms are uncomfortable because nothing feels productive in a waiting room? I have sat in my doctor's office at times for 2 or 3 hours. I don't know what they're doing back there. I guess they're at lunch, and I'm sitting there in the waiting room. It doesn't matter what it is. Has anybody sat in a waiting room for a long time? How about on a call waiting where you got to wait for somebody on the phone? We'll be back in a minute. This is AI. It's very uncomfortable because nothing feels productive in that time of waiting. But God does some of his deepest, and most wonderful works between doors. I preached a sermon a long time ago. I need to preach it again in the hall. Because you understand in the hall, between the two doors is a waiting period. And that right there is important. You can't give up in the hall. I'll never forget preaching that message in Miami, Florida. God gave it to me on the instant. I walked into a church, the pastor asked me to preach. I got up on the instant and preached that in the hall. Powerful. But we're in that hall experience and we feel like nothing's going on good for us. There again, he has you there for a reason. You go to the doctor's office in a waiting room. Why are you waiting? To see the doctor. You wait for your car to get fixed at the auto shop. Why are you waiting? To get your car. Why do you wait for your wife to get dressed to go to church on Sunday mornings? It's just fact. Here's point three. Believing that causes pain or distress in our lives. Believing doors close because you're unworthy. I'm just unworthy. This is one that the enemy loves to throw at you, that you're unworthy. He loves it. If you were better, he'll say, if you were better, God would have opened that door for you. He opened it for Jimmy. He didn't do it for you. Why? Because Jimmy's better than you. So he starts throwing it. Then it caused dissension between brethren. See how he works? But Scripture says, you have to go through the Scriptures and throw Scriptures at it. The Bible says in Psalms 37, verse 23 through 24 in the NLT, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. Don't forget I said that. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Notice this. The Lord directs the steps of what? Now watch. Not the perfect. Not the flawless. Read it. The Lord directs the steps of the godly, which is righteous. That's what it is. Not the perfect. Not somebody's got it all together. But those that are seeking him. And that's fabulous. That's good news. The Bible says also in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. He will show you which path to take. Notice in that verse, if you read it with me, God doesn't promise a map. He didn't give you a GPS system. He promises direction. As you walk, he directs. As you go, he shows. That's just the way he works. Often clarity, full vision comes after obedience. When you're obedient, clarity comes. You start seeing things better. You start understanding things more thoroughly, more completely. Does that make sense? But let's just look at Paul. Paul, I kind of think he knew what he was doing. I really believe I preach about Paul a lot. I'll tell you why. Because he wrote most of the New Testament. In Acts the 16th, which we'll not read, the 16th chapter, read it on your own. But I'm going to tell you a story. He tries to go preach into Asia, the Apostle Paul. He wants to go. He wants an open door. I want to go preach in Asia. But the Bible says the door's closed. He couldn't go to Asia. Then he says, I want to go to Bithynia. And the door closed in Bithynia. Then God gives him a vision of Macedonia. When he gives him the vision of Macedonia, the door opens. Now what happens? Paul didn't sulk at the closed doors. He didn't sit around and moan and groan because of the closed doors. And he didn't force his way through into Asia or into Bithynia. He didn't force his way through. He stayed sensitive to God's direction. You're going to see in a minute why this is important. He stayed sensitive to God's direction. And the open door that God led him to, watch this. There was a woman that had she was wealthy, and she was very influential, and her name was Lydia. Remember that name if you read the chapter. Her name was Lydia, and Lydia was converted because Paul walked through the proper door. And because he walked through the proper door, her home, Lydia's home, became the first house church in Europe. Now, does that make sense now, how important those open doors are? It was the first house church in Europe. Then because he followed God's door as he's preaching the gospel in these areas, along with Brother Silas, Paul and Silas, he's preaching in the area God told him to, in the open door he sent him through, a jailer gets saved. A jailer. Paul and Silas were locked up for preaching the gospel. Locked up. Treated cruelly. Locked up with chains in the innermost prison with guards standing all around them. But something happened as they praised God. The doors opened and the chains fell off. The jailer saw this and he knew that it was a capital punishment. If prisoners got out of the jail, he was going to have to die. So the jailer, assuming they escape, prepares to kill his own self. He's going to kill himself, fall on his own sword. Paul stops him and says, don't do it. We're all here. The jailer, now watch, the jailer falls down trembling and asks him, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Because he went through the right door. Paul's obedience, following what God told him to do, Paul's obedience led him into prison, not promotion. He led him into prison, not promotion, but look what God did. Because he went through the door and because these people were touched, the expansion of the gospel went into Europe. It went in through the Roman Empire and into Western civilization, all because he followed the plan. That's killer right there, brother. He followed the plan. He walked through the right door at the right time for the right reason. And look what God did. Look, I don't know. I had an open door. I've had open doors in my life. I had an open door into Miami one time back years ago, and they asked me to come, and they were going to triple my salary just to come be their pastor. Triple. I thought, man, that's cool. I'm going to do that. And all of a sudden, God said, no, you're not. That's not the door I have for you. And now I'm ended up here in the Hilton. I'm like, God, what are you doing? What's your plan, to God? But God has a plan. I don't question him. I don't groan. I don't moan. I don't beg. I don't bang on the doors. I'm not running around trying to find other things. I'm waiting for God to say, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is the door, walk through it. Because that's the only way we're going to be productive. The only way we're going to be successful is walking through the door he has planned for us to go through. Amen. You want joy? Walk through the door of joy. You want happiness? Walk through the door of happiness. Quit creating problems for yourself. How many know that you create a lot of problems for your own self? He said, you don't understand how many bills I've got, Bishop. Let me ask you a question. Who did those bills? Who caused you to be in debt? Sandy? No, it was you, Steve. I know it's you. I mean, come on now. You did it. What you need to do is start asking God to teach you how to deal with some things. You need God to help you with your accounting. That's fact. Because the more money you got, you say, if I just had more money, you know what you do with more money? You're going to spend more money. Right or wrong? It didn't matter what the government could give you, $300,000. And I guarantee you that $300,000, you're going to go through it, brother. You're going to buy you maybe a couple of cars, and you're going to buy this, you're going to buy and take all these vacations, and all of a sudden, it's gone. Now you need more money. I mean, it's just the way it works. Open doors. Some need to be closed so you don't open more. But I need to look at moments to help me build my faith in all this. How many people want to build their faith? Like, I really have a breakthrough when I think about I get an unexpected yes. An unexpected yes. A contract that comes our way. Certain business dealings possibly or our relationship. You get a yes. How many people like to get a yes? In other words, you weren't in line, you weren't next in line, but you get a yes. You weren't the obvious choice, but you get chosen. But God made it clear in all this, as you don't feel like it's not your time because you're in the back of the line, God makes it clear this one is yours. Amen. This one is yours. And I'll take it every time. When God says it's yours, it's yours. You take hold of it and then get excited. So that's my first one that I say helps me build faith when I see little things like that where God says yes and people around me say yes and people understand what we're trying to get through to and how we're going to accomplish things. I mean, I love yeses, but I like God's yeses. Next one, God aligns what you couldn't manufacture. This helps me with my faith. God aligns what I know I could not manufacture. He aligns. Everybody say, he aligns. What does he align? Timing, people, resources, your finances. He starts aligning all those things. And here's the cool thing about it. Pat, here's the cool thing about this in building your faith. You look back at all this and you realize there's no way this could have happened by accident. No way this could have happened by accident. This had to be God. I've had to say that here lately, some things. It had to be God. None of this could have happened this way. It had to be God. This should then start to build your faith. Because if he did it then, he can do it again. Amen. If he said yes over there, he can say yes over here. If he made a way where there seemed to be no way, which is that open door, one time, he can do it another time. Another thing that helps me to build, when you realize timing was protection, not rejection. Timing was protection, not rejection. If that door had opened earlier, very possibly if it opened earlier, you would have lacked maturity to deal with it. You would have lacked the healing that you needed. You would have lacked preparation. Maybe you would have lacked those things. God didn't withhold, as you think. God didn't withhold, He prepared. God didn't withhold, He prepared. He got you ready to take it. And I could use a lot of illustrations there. There's a lot of things that you, in the future, you might can handle that you can't handle right now. So how do we live this out? How do we apply this? How do we make it applicable to now? Is anybody happy but me? I think I'm the only happy person in here. I'm happy. You know why I'm happy? It's Sunday and I get to see y'all. How do we live this out? This week even, or whenever, start saying yes to one. Quit looking for multiplicity of things. Say yes to one opportunity God is putting in front of you. Just one opportunity. And stop waiting for the perfect door. Well, I'm waiting for the perfect door. How do you know that door's not perfect? Quit waiting on something that God is directing you toward. Stop waiting for the perfect door, because God starts many times, He just starts the door to crack open and you need to start moving through it. Fear keeps us, though, staring at doors God has already opened. We're standing there staring. Boy, I wish that door would open. All we're doing is staring. We're not doing anything. We're not moving. God wants you to move. What time is it? I got a lot of time. Then I say, stop rehearsing fears or the fears of failure. Stop rehearsing it. Quit going through it in your mind. That's how you live this thing out. Quit rehearsing things. How many of y'all, I do, how are you sitting, you rehearse things in your mind of things you could have done, should have done, would have done? That'll get to you after a while. Man, I should have bought that stock. Man, I should have sold that car. Man, I should have fired Mike. I mean, that's just things you go through in your mind. Have you ever said something to somebody and wished you hadn't said it? Stop rehearsing fears of failure. Fear keeps you staring at doors instead of opening doors. Remember, fear becomes a lock that controls everything that you in your decision making. Fear starts to control it. You don't make a decision without going to Dr. Fear. I better check with fear first, see if fear can handle it. Fear will never handle it. Sometimes you got to be put on your big boy pants. And you got to stand up and say, I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that He is able. And God said, I can walk through that door. I'm going to walk through that door. You having fun yet? I am. And then here's one that's really important that you need to look at this week. Look for subtle open doors. What do you mean by that? Subtle open doors. Very few of us are going to get burning bush experiences. Burning bushes are rare. I want to be like Moses and walk upon the burning bush and say, who are you? I am God. And you want to face the burning bush. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, those are few and far between. You ain't Moses. So if you're looking for a burning bush, you're going to wait a long time. But you can look for whispers are common. The whisper of the Spirit. How about God could very possibly open doors for you through conversations? I'll be conversating with somebody and all of a sudden I sense something. How about nudges in the Spirit? Have you ever had a spiritual nudge? If you don't want a nudge, is take your finger and poke somebody in the side right now, and that's their nudge. How about small invitations? Well, I don't want a small, I want a large invitation. You know what? I'm not going to preach unless I've got 5,000 people in front of me. Well, get ready. It don't start out that way. I've preached to many, and I've preached to few. I've stood before multiple thousands of people. That's a fact. But I've also preached to 5 and 6 people. And I preach just the same in front of 5 or 6 people that I do in front of thousands. That's just fact. Except I get a little more excited. I run a little bit more. You know what I mean, Jay. You gotta show off sometimes. So all these things that we look at and say is insignificant. Maybe God's saying something or opening a door for you. Don't discount all those things because they're not what you think they should be. It don't look like I thought it would be. Wasn't the door I thought it would be. But how about God wanted you there at that time? So here's the question. What door in your life, what door feels permanently closed in your life that you see it's closed? But what opportunity have you hesitated to walk through? You hesitated. What about, are you expecting God to open something new, or are you stuck mourning something old? Do you want something new, or are you mourning something old? I'm almost through. Here's a truth that we all have to live in and walk in. When God opens a door, when God opens a door, not Alan. Here's the truth we have to walk. When God opens a door, you don't need permission. When God opens a door, you don't need approval. When God opens a door, you don't need to be fearless. You just got to be there. And be obedient. All you need to do is just get up off your laurels and walk through it. Did that make sense? If that offended you, I'm sorry. And you can get off your laurels and leave. But the truth of the matter is, many of us miss God because we just won't get up. Damon, we just won't get up. Well, I don't understand why God ain't blessing me. Or have you sown anything into the kingdom of God? Well, I have, but it's been small coming back. It's because you sowed sparingly. And you will reap also sparingly. See, it's always contingencies. God knows what he's doing and how he teaches us all. We got to know that when God opens a door, it's open. When he does something wonderful. It's beautiful. And you don't dread it. You don't fear it. I'm almost through here now. Stay with me. You don't need permission. You don't need approval. You don't need to be fearless. You just need to walk through it. And hear this. Some doors, be very careful, because some doors won't stay open forever. She got it. Right, Benny? Keyshawn, did you get it? Some doors don't stay open forever. You think they're going to stay open. Well, I thought that door would always be open to me. I left that woman 10 years ago, but I thought I could go back to her because that door was going to be open to me. Well, guess what? It didn't work that way, did it? Sometimes those doors don't stay open long, so you had better walk through that door that God says, hey, that's yours. You see, obedience, Sonia, is time sensitive. Obedience is time sensitive. When God asks you to do something, he wants you to do it not next week, not 2 weeks from now. He's asking you to do it right now, Lewis, because he knows you can do it right now. Obedience is time sensitive. Closing statement. Listen, the vault is unlocked. Mark it down. God is opening the door. The vault is unlocked. The key has been turned. Your job now is simple. My job is simple. What is that, Bishop? All you have to do is walk through the door now. Jesus is that door. And he'll make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen. You can come get it.